This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I've been talking about obedience. I think it was a few weeks ago now. I sort of woke up early morning and the words of an old song, trust and obey. There's no other way to believe or to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And the whole issue of obedience in the Bible, that God actually demands obedience, he expects obedience. He is Lord, and he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Because that's what it means. If he is Lord, you're going to do everything that he says. And I just think a charge has got to be brought to the church in that we've been watering down the gospel. We've been watering down the message of God. We're trying to be more compassionate, as it were, than God is. We're trying to be more merciful than God. We have our own opinions as to what is good for people. But God's word is truth. And I'll tell you something about God's word. It's like a two-edged sword. You know, it's got to kill you before it can make you alive. You know what we've done with the gospel, watered down the gospel? You know what Paul said? He said, I'm ready to the Romans, the Roman Christians, I'm ready to, with all that's within me, to preach the gospel to you. Because he said the gospel, the message of the cross, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And so what it means is no one has any excuse before God to not apply the message of the cross in their own life and find absolute, complete deliverance and freedom. And so we come across cases where it seems to be a contradiction and, oh, God understands and maybe, you know, we'll... No, it's the message of the cross that is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And this is the key. The message of the cross is that God now commands everyone to repent. Your thinking, he said, is not right. Your ways are not right. You cannot believe until you repent. You cannot believe. And so we struggle with God. We struggle with what he says in his word. So it's the message of the cross. You know, just 2 days ago, I woke up again in the morning and this thought came to my mind, that if you haven't allowed the cross to kill you, it can never resurrect you. If you haven't allowed the work of the cross to do what it's meant to do, it can never resurrect you as well. And God's word is the same, isn't it? Jesus is the same. It's the message. Why did he come? He came to die. The death that he died, did he do it for himself? He did it for us. The death that he died for us. So that we're to reckon. What does that mean? This, I want you to think, we're to reckon ourselves dead to sin. He died for us that we shouldn't live anymore for the course of this world, for our own thoughts, the lusts of our heart, the lusts of our mind, the lusts of the flesh. We think about repentance in terms of people who do bad things. You know, it's amazing. But the biggest bondage is where we think that we're good. We think, well, we're not. There's a person that, you know, I think could be saved. And God will totally bypass them because of absolute pride and arrogance in their heart. And the message of the cross hasn't been applied to them properly. So what is it? It's the prostitutes. It's the outcasts that get saved first because they know there's nothing good in them. That's the message of the cross. that we need to apply. So God's been talking to me about obedience. He demands obedience. That has, and we've used the cross like a Band-Aid. There. Come and, oh, God understands. He understands what you get. Do you want to apply the message of the cross? You know what it says in Isaiah 40? It talks about the glory of God coming. And there's a voice crying. And he says, what shall I cry? And God says, cry out that all flesh is like grass. It says every mountain's got to be brought down. Every valley's going to be lifted up. Every stone of stumbling's got to be removed out of the way so that the path of the Lord can be made straight. You and I, the church, is the path of the Lord. You and I, we bring the glory of God. That's what we're here for in this time, in this generation, to bring the glory of God so that a world doesn't go to hell. We can look at it and say, oh, tisk, tisk, aren't they all bad? And all the stuff that's happening now, we can know that we're right because we know the Bible. We know what's right and wrong. Do you know that's the knowledge of good and evil? And so much of our what we are doing is out of what we know to be right and what we know to be wrong. Very much like the Pharisees. Oh, we know what's right and wrong. It's those rabble. It's the rest of the people. But we know, and they were the people in the biggest bondage and deserved the biggest rebuke from God. What happened when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to his disciples? What did he do? He rebuked them for their hardness of heart and their unbelief. Do you know why? Because he was trying to impart into them. You know what Jesus said one day in Luke 12, he's talking, he said, I've come to bring a fire on the earth. And he says, oh, how I wish that it was already lit. He's come to bring a fire. And we all think, oh, yeah, church, oh, yeah, I want the fire, I want fire, hallelujah, I want all this stuff, and I love all that. But I want you to know that that fire is much more than that. You know, God said in Deuteronomy 32, he's talking about his own people, and he's speaking over them what they're going to do. He's just brought them out of bondage. They did nothing to deserve or earn it. God did it because he is gracious and merciful and loving, and he brought a people to himself, brought them out of bondage, out of slavery, cut all their enemies off when they were helpless. And he says, I brought you to myself. I want you to be my own special people. I'm going to make you a kingdom of priests. I'm going to share with you my heart. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do and how I want to touch the whole world through you and show them what I'm really like. Show people what I'm really like. And prayer meeting we had, I don't know how, 8 weeks ago. I'm praying in the prayer meeting and I was just praying, God, don't bring miracles in this place. Don't do signs and wonders in this place. And I was praying that because I didn't want anybody to come here just because of signs and wonders. And I felt that we're not ready for it yet, because all we say, aren't we good? Isn't this wonderful? And not have the heart of God for it. You know what the Bible says? It's a wicked and adulterous generation that looks for a sign. He was speaking to religious leaders when he said that. Today he's speaking to Christians, to you and me. Are we racing everywhere looking for a sign? I don't know, everybody's got their, you know, talks in this generation, talking about the church, that there's going to be these deceits come in. We're going to have itching ears, just heaping up teachers. I love end time stuff, so I'll race everywhere looking for end time teaching. I love signs and wonders and miracles, so I'll race everywhere where there might be signs and wonders and miracles. You and I are supposed to be the sign and the wonder. What does a sign do? It points somewhere. And I want to ask you, where is your life pointing? Where is my life pointing? When people look at me, when they look at you, where are we pointing? Are they going to know where to go? And I'm just looking at the world thinking, they're looking at the church. They wouldn't have a clue. Well, they're racing around everywhere. Where are we pointing? Oh, how I wish that it was already here, a fire. He says, I've come to bring a fire on the earth. And in Deuteronomy 32, God's talking over his people. I bought you out. I bought you to myself. I wanted you to not live by bread alone, but by every word that's coming out of my mouth. I want you to hear what I want to say. I want to impart something right into your heart. I want to share my heart with you. Sometimes it's going to be hard for you to receive it because it's something that breaks the heart of God. That's not going to be easy to receive. It's not going to be easy to receive. He says, I've lit a fire in my jealousy that will burn to the lowest hell. You know, people are caught up in hellfire. And we think just by telling them what's right and wrong, what we think know is right and stand for right and wrong, that's going to save. No, we need the fire of God. What has he called the church first and foremost to do? You tell me. What has he called us first and foremost to do? Pray for his king. My house will be called a house of prayer. We're called kings and priests. We are anointed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what people need to see. When God says he's lit a fire in our jealousy, I think Karen shared it, talking about love and God being jealous. He's not envious. Jealous is a jealousy over something that is his, rightfully his. It's a husband is jealous over his wife. God is jealous over what is his, and that's the fire of his love. Our God is a consuming fire. And people don't need people outside of Christ are under judgment already. They're under the judgment of God, but we have been brought out of darkness. We're not living according to the course of this world, doing whatever we think is right. So when it says every mountain's got to be brought down, every valley lifted up, you know what that is? The pride of man and equally the valleys, the ones that think, oh, we're no good, we're hopeless, and wallowing in self-pity. Poor me, I can't do anything. That's just equally pride. God commands all men everywhere to repent. You know, where you can all say the ones who've got a big head and think they can do everything and pull them down, especially in Australia. But equally, that pride is in those valleys where we're groveling and wallowing and will not believe what God says about us and take his heart. Oh, how I wish that fire was already here. You know, so obedience. God demands obedience. And I went through all the scriptures. Noah did everything that God told him to do. Moses did everything that God told him to do. Abraham did everything that God told him to do, even to the point of taking his only son and offering him as a sacrifice. He was obedient, and not only obedient, but promptly obedient. He did not delay. He got up first thing in the morning to obey God. And that's when God said to him, I'm going to pour out such a blessing over you that you're going to be a blessing to every nation on the face of the earth. He is the father of our faith. And that's what we are called to follow in obedience to the Lord. And so we recognize Moses did everything that God commanded him to do in the building of the tabernacle. He did everything, placed everything exactly what God told him to do, he did. And it says that when he did that, the glory of God came down on that temple. Who's the temple? We are the temple. Are you and I going to do everything that God tells us to do? Now, before you answer that, I'm going to tell you why you can't. You can't. Because you can never obey God in your flesh. That's why the cross has to be applied. John G. Lake said that Jesus Christ is at once the sinless descent of God into man and the spotless ascent of man into God. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. But he demands everything. He asks all that you are and I am to be laid on the altar for him. And he's made that promise. And it's, you know, it says, Peter says it in Acts chapter 5. I think about the church, when the Holy Ghost came on the church. Here's a temple. Is it the real one? The real one. All that happened in the past were types and shadows for Moses. He knew, because he went up the mountain, God showed him the reality of what he was doing. And he said, go down and build a little copy of it, so that people in the future and everyone can know what I'm doing, what I'm going to do in all the earth when I pour out my glory. And everything had to be exactly where God placed it. He built a little copy. And so here's in the book of Acts, Jesus has paid the sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice that can atone for sins, yours and mine. And he got a hold of your life. He got a hold of my life. He brought us out of darkness. The Bible says that this whole world, that we, you know, and you, says in Ephesians chapter, and you, me, we were once dead in trespasses and sins. The cross is not a cover-up for sins. Never was, because God commands all men everywhere. It's the answer to sins. It's the real remedy. And you and me, we were once dead in sin and trespasses, in which we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit who is now working in the sons of what? Disobedience. And I want to challenge you, are you in Christ or are you outside of Christ? Or are you trying to mix two? Trying to keep part of your life? Because if Jesus said, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose my life, lose your life for my sake, you will gain it. Isn't that the message of the cross? So what do we tell people? Oh, you're doing well. Yeah, God understands your indecision. God understands your rebellion. I'm talking to mature Christians. I don't want to say this to a young Christian. I want to tell them what Christ has done for them, that they know the power and fire of God. But I'm talking to mature Christians, 10, 20, 30 years, and we're still struggling with whether we're going to walk in the Spirit or we're going to walk in the flesh. And here's the real reason for that. Is that the Bible says the mind set on the flesh is what? Death. But the mind set on the Spirit is life. Well, when are we going to choose life and stop vacillating and making excuses for our rebellion against God and then telling one another God understands? Do we want to see people saved and absolutely delivered from sin and the devil and every bondage like that? I want to see it. Elaine, you sang that song, and I was remembering it. He's sending a fire down from the mountain. All eyes will see the glory of the Lord. Hearts will melt. Can't remember. Setting all the captives free. That's a word over this church. God wants a mighty fire. He wants a mighty fire to burn in this place. And you and I are going to be the fuel. Don't come here to hear preaching. Don't come here to see a man. Don't come here to see miracles or signs or wonders or have great worship even. Come here to meet God and do what he says. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. If you haven't got the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit, it's because you are not obeying him. It's as simple as that. Let's not mock God. Let's not mock God in this church and blame him for the things that are happening in our lives. God is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. And I don't say that in vindictiveness. I say it because God is true. He is on the throne. He is Lord of all. Every word that he says is empowered. Every word. Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Here's how you can tell whether you're in Christ or not. You know what Paul said, Corinthians? And they're caught up in all this rhubarb and rubbish when they're called out of darkness to serve God in the power of the Holy Spirit. They're having all these flesh parties, pity parties, pride parties, lust parties, you name it. They're into it. Isn't that encouraging that, you know, it's in the Bible, but it's got to be dealt with. And he challenged him. He said, examine yourself. Do you know that Christ is in you? You know, we water down. We say, oh, God, you know, there's no condemnation to those in Christ. And that's true. The key is, are you in Christ? We use Romans 7 like some sort of cop-out for us walking in the flesh. And we say, oh, look, Paul's there. He said, you know, the good that I wanted to do, I don't do. And the evil that I don't want to do, I end up doing. But forget about Romans 8. He's trying to describe those double-minded men and women. What does it say in James? Don't let a double-minded man think he will receive anything from the Lord. We're confusing the gospel then. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Repent. God's not going to change. You have to change. Do everything. Change. Trust him. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own weakness. You can't grovel before God for months and months on end and expect him out of some kind of pity to do it, because he has done it in the cross. He has dealt with you, George. He has taken you to the cross and he has killed George, buried him. And now he commands you in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and start walking. Rise up from amongst the dead ones and you start walking. You start following him. You lock your eyes on him and you walk after him. And he will lead you from glory to glory. Your path will become like a light path that's going to get more and more glorious. And even though you might be led through the valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to fear, because God is with you and the heart of God is burning within you. And you just, all you want is for his kingdom to come and his will to be done. You don't need anything else to prep you up or pop you up, because the joy of the Lord is yours. There's a fire burning in you. That's for every single one of us. Every word is true. And he wants a fire to burn. I was telling you about the prayer meeting. I don't want signs, wonders. I don't want that. If that's the only reason people are coming, I want the glory of God to fall in such a way that men's hearts are brought and laid bare before the very throne of God and he sets them free. Miracles are going to happen in the midst of that. Signs and wonders are going to happen as God works in that, because that's what the Holy Spirit, God is a miracle worker. He supplies the Spirit and he works miracles in our midst. But that's not why we're coming. That's not why we're giving our lives to him. We want to meet with God and we want to know his heart. And then back to Deuteronomy 32. So he's telling them, I've done all this, but I know what you're going to do. As soon as you get into the promised land and you have all these houses and everything's laid on, you're going to say, flesh, this is good. I like all this. And you're going to start serving other gods. And that's when God said, I've lit a fire in my jealousy that will burn to the lowest hell. And when you look at the cross, you see the fire of that jealousy that Jesus descended into hell for you and I, defeated the devil, wrestled. Jesus has now the keys of death and hell, and he is risen from the dead by the power of the Spirit of resurrection. That's why I say, if the cross doesn't kill you, it can never resurrect you, because it's that resurrection spirit that needs to flow in the church. It's that fire that needs to burn and purge away all the darkness, setting every captive free. Every captive, what were the words? Like liquid. Spirit, that was it. Spiritual fire, like water from a fountain. Hearts, yeah, that's it. Hearts all will melt. The prophetic song of what God wants to do in and through you. You know, we've been challenged as a church not to think Mombolt, not to just think this area, but to think Australia, to think over there. God's got a greater purpose than we can imagine. And it's not, don't let that be what fires you up to do anything, because that's just flesh. Oh, aren't we something? Oh, won't we feel significant then? No, I want the heart of God to burn in you and me, that our one thing is for his name to be glorified, for all men to see him. That's his heart. How long? So back to the prayer meeting. I'm going to get there. In the prayer meeting, I'm praying that, and that probably sounded like a weird prayer, I don't know. And David Butler, he said it in a funny way. It got my attention. We're just about to close the prayer meetings on a Tuesday night. And he just said, the spirit of prophecy comes on us now. Never heard it announced that way. Got my attention. But anyway, I just started to talk about a spirit of Elijah coming. And in the past, you know, I've been in home groups and things like that and churches and seen some weird stuff with all... I've seen people think they were Elijah, got really carried away with it. So that's something I don't immediately pay a lot of attention to, except for this time it really struck me. What is that spirit of Elijah? Well, it was on John the Baptist. What was his message? Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right here. And you know what he had to deal with? In his nation, ruling over Israel at that time was a moody, manipulative, grasping King Ahab with a wife, Jezebel. Immorality, manipulation, it was all happening. But that wasn't the real problem. We like to blame leadership, blame those... You know, that goes right back, doesn't it? But what Elijah had to do was get a whole nation back to God. And you know, when he challenged a whole nation and brought them, you know, he had to pray for 3.5 years he prayed. And for three and a half years, I'll get it right, there was no rain. No rain. God in the Bible says that if his people were right before him and obeyed everything that he told them to do, that he would send the rain, the early rain and the latter rain. What's it for? The harvest. That's in the Old Testament. He said, but if you don't, I'm going to withhold the rain. So Elijah's praying according to the will of God. And that brought a whole nation just about to its knees in desperation. They were hunting for water everywhere just to keep their cattle and that and themselves alive. And it was a severe thing that was happening. But when Elijah stood up and at that time... I forget now how many prophets of Baal were there and prophets of Asherah. The Baal was a male lord. Baal means lord, and was Ashtaroth the other one's female goddess. And I think there was 600 prophets of both. And he challenged the whole nation to come to this place. And he said, let all the false prophets come. See, the problem was they had both. He said, let them come. And we're both going to offer a sacrifice. And the God that answers by fire, he's the true God. Do you know what he said to them? How long are you going to be crippled between two opinions? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do not let that person think they will receive anything from the Lord. They will receive nothing. Because if you're going to come before the Lord, you've got to come with your heart clean. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands, James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Clean hands and a pure heart. He shall receive what? Blessing. We need that blessing. We need rain on this nation of Australia, which is called the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Don't we need rain on this nation? And we've been crying out for the rain in the church. Start crying out for fire in the church. Because unless there's fire on the altar, you will never get rain on the land. Are we looking for a harvest? I don't even know. Have you got the burden of the Lord for the harvest? There's got to be fire on the altar. Every church in this nation needs to be opened up as an altar. But it's been said that an empty altar will receive no flame. And I wonder how many empty altars are there in this land. What about you? What about you? What about the call of God on you? I know the call of God doesn't come at a convenient time for any of us. I think God deliberately chooses the time that seems to be the worst kind of time at times. Probably getting confusing now, but God knows the heart. And he's looking for that sacrifice. What are the sacrifices of God? The sacrifices of God that he will not reject are a broken and contrite heart. He will not reject that. Are you broken over your disobedience, over your rebellion and stubbornness? What did Stephen, that man of God, great signs and wonders amongst the people, and all the religious leaders got him and, they stoned him to death. You know what he preached to all of those lapsed, backslidden people of God? He preached about what God had done to them as a nation, and every step of the way they had resisted and rebelled against what God was wanting to do in their lives and show them. In the end, he said, you stiff-necked and rebellious and stubborn people, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. And what happened then? Did he have a glory meeting? He sure did. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But all the rest of them, they were gnashing at him with their teeth and just filled with rage, dragged him out and stoned him to death. And what did he do? Because the fire of God was on that man. The fire of God was on that man. And he looks up and said, Father, don't lay this sin to their charge. Forgive them. Forgive them. I want that kind of a fire to burn in the church. Now I pray that the church is, and I want to challenge you, is your life a sacrifice that can be laid on the altar? And this, let this church become an altar. That's what the cross is. It's an altar. It's the altar that sanctifies the gifts. Isn't it? Jesus said that. It's the altar that sanctifies, in other words, makes it, oh, we're so gifted. We've got so many gifts, we've got so many talents, and we're trying to impress God with our gifts and our talents. But it's the altar that sanctifies the gift, makes it right, so that the heart of God comes with it. So that if you've got a gift, and you know, I've pulled back and pulled back from the gift that God's told me time and time again, that I have a sword on my side. And I know what the sword is, the word of God. And he told me, even when I was first converted, that I had to speak and not be afraid of whatever kind of reaction to it, that I had to speak what God puts in my mouth. And I love the teaching on the love of God and, you know, faith and all those. But the one message that always burns in my heart is that one about repent. Get your life right with God. Don't mock God anymore. Don't be double-minded anymore. But put your life on the altar. Make your life a living sacrifice, and then you'll get the fire of God on your life. And let this place be filled with people praying and seeking first his kingdom. Don't get caught up in the course of this world where everybody's just fulfilling the lusts of the mind, the lusts of the flesh, doing what the whole TV tells you is going to make you happy, and everybody else tells you going to make happy. We talk about holidays, we talk about all this sort of stuff, and I'm not against that by saying that, but what I am saying is, are you living totally for the kingdom of God? Because that's the price. Can we stand? I've taken so much time, and I appreciate it. There's got to be a revival in each one of our hearts. I'm not going to open up for prayer. I want you to seek God. I don't want you to come to church because some special preacher is praying and he might lay his hands on you and you get the magic wand job. No, I want you to get before God. I want you, because he has made the way free, open for every one of us. I just feel this burden that God is wanting people to come right to the throne of grace. It's going to kill you. You can't go through that cross without it kills you. But if you go through the cross, you'll walk in resurrection life. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will activate in your life. And that's what people want to see. They don't want to see you. They don't want to see me. They want to see Jesus. And what do you say when that happened? He said, unless a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain alone. That's the challenge to you, every single one of you. You seek the Lord with all of your heart. Seek him with all of your heart. Find him so that the fire of God falls in this place. Don't talk about what we should or shouldn't be doing. Seek God until the fire of God falls in this place. Do you mind if I share one more scripture? I feel I've got to do it. We're praying here on Friday, and when you hear this call, Psalm 50, the mighty one, God the earth. Can you hear him? Can you hear his voice? From the rising of the sun to its going down, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, that's the church, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him. Do we want the fire of God? When he starts moving, I tell you, hearts are going to get laid bare before him. He will deal. He'll call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. That's you and me. Gather my saints together to me, those who've made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Have you made that covenant with him by sacrifice? Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving. Heard that this morning. And pay your vows to the Most High. Pay your vows. What you have promised God, do it. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Now listen to this. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, his word, seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother and slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. If there's going to be fire on this altar, there's got to be a sacrifice on it. And I'm asking you to be that sacrifice. Give God your whole life, all of it. Don't hold anything back, because anything less than that is unacceptable to God. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable worship. Thank you, Father. Father, we hear your voice. And I pray, Father, that every single one of us, as we lay our lives on that altar, knowing that if you died for us, then we've all died, that we might live a new life in you and walk in it. Lord, and I pray the fire of your love would burn in every heart, burn in this place, Lord, that there might be rain on this nation, because you called it the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let it be in this time. Now is the time. Let there be an urgency, we pray, on every church to seek your face, to seek your... Now is the time. Seek your face. Seek him until he comes and reigns righteousness. Lord, we ask that for this nation. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.